Welcome to the Empowerment Zone with Ramona Houston, where we zone in on Black and Brown relations and our journey to empowering our communities.
Thank you for joining the Empowerment Zone. I am your host, Ramona Houston. Educational empowerment is what we're all about here at the Empowerment Zone. Welcome. I am your host, Ramona Houston, and we are on a mission to educate you today. We have as our guest today, Dr. Stacy Allen Robertson, and he calls himself the celebrity educator. And we are absolutely thrilled that he's talking with us today, because he's going to tell us all about dyscalculia, which is an unknown math learning disability. But let me give you a little bit of background about Stacy Allen Robertson. Now, let me tell you something about Dr. Stacy. Dr. Stacy just received his doctorate degree, and we are so proud that he has pursued his doctorate degree and crossed the burning sands, and now he's Dr. Stacy, and we're happy for him and honored that we have him here today. He is a native of the Twin City of Texarkana, Texas. Now, mind you, he's a Texan, and as y'all know, I'm a Texan, and I love me some Texas. And so he is a 2003 honor graduate of the University of Arkansas at Pine Bluff, where he completed his bachelor's degree in mass communications with a concentration in public relations. Dr. Robertson earned his master's degree in school counseling in 2018 from Clark Atlanta University, my alma mater, and also completed his EDD, which I just got through talking about, in educational leadership with a concentration in higher education from CAU as well. And he's a big promoter of student leadership. He has served in all types of leadership positions, including SGA president at University of Arkansas, Pine Bluff. And he was the 2016 SGA graduate president at Clark Atlanta University. And if any of you know, I was also an SGA president at Clark Atlanta University, yes. Undergraduate president. And here we have the graduate president. He is a proud alum of the HBCU All-Star White House Initiative Program and was a Dr. Ronald E. McNair Scholar. He served in both K through 12 and higher education for over the past 20 years and has an extensive background in the music industry, working with some of the top artists, producers, and songwriters in the entertainment business. Dr. Robertson, has been everything from a middle and high school counselor to currently serving as CAU's senior graduate recruiter in the Office of Graduate Admissions and Recruitment. He is known as a celebrity educator and host of the popular YouTube show, The Exclusive. Dr. Robertson is a proud member of Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated. And if any of you know anything about A5A, they just celebrated their Founders Day just recently. And he has a passion to serve, as all A5A folk do, A5A men, let me say that, and a passion to serve and educate people across the world on the power of being different. Welcome, Dr. Robertson. How are you doing today?
I am good. Thank you so much, Dr. Houston, first and foremost, for the opportunity to share my passion on a subject matter that has definitely shaped my life forever. Knowledge is power, and without it, we will perish. So I thank you for this opportunity.
Well, thank you for coming. I am really curious about learning more about the learning disability of dyscalculia. And I can't wait for you to educate our audience about that disability as well as me. I know very little about it until, you informed me about it during a previous discussion, but I'm looking forward to having that discussion. But before we get on on that, talking about your subject matter, tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, you know, how, you know, your, I know I gave them your bio, but it's nothing like hearing it from the person themselves. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, as you have graciously shared with the audience, I am Dr. Stacy Allen Robinson. I'm a proud native of the Twin City of Texarkana, Texas, notably known as the state line that separates Texas and Arkansas. So we do serve a purpose in America. I come from great stock of men and women who have poured into me early on. And that has helped to develop me to become the person I am today. I'm a proud product of four HBCUs and an advocate for all HBCUs. And I will shout that out from any corner of my local neighborhood to all the way to the White House, from which I served as an HBCU All-Star White House Ambassador. I am a Dr. Ronald E. McNair Scholar alum, whose shoulders that I am honored to stand on, which is one of the reasons why I was able to become a doctor today. I'm an educator. Dr. Houston, there is not one child that I can't motivate, and there is not one person I can't inspire. And so I had to learn early on that I was different and that I had a responsibility that was so much further than I can even imagine. And I understood early that I would be challenged with differences that would shape my life, but change the lives of others.
That's it. And it's good to hear that you have a passion for education and a passion as an educator. As you know, we really need, and when I say we, I mean the African-American community, the Latino community, the wider American community. We really need men of color in all levels of education. As you know, there are very few African-American and Latino men in the education field, and we need more. I know I didn't have my first Black male teacher until I took summer school in Fort Worth, and it wasn't until going to a historically Black college and university that I actually had quite a few Black men teachers, which there's something about seeing yourself in other teachers. Not that I'm a male, but it's great to have Black men in front in leading the classroom. So we appreciate the fact that you have embraced that mission and purpose in your life and moving forward in it.
Thank you. You know, and if I can definitely share during this moment, especially when we talk about when I had an opportunity to just study this platform, your platform, and to be able to speak about my professional evolution and how I arrived at this current place that I call work of passion, I'm going to say that it started right there. It started in the classroom, being fortunate to see people, teachers who look like me. Mm-hmm. And that's where that journey started and where I was able to be empowered and reminded that even I can do great things. And so with that being said, that is why I call this thing, this platform, I call the power of being different. I discovered through joy and pain that we're all different. And in fact, there is not one person on earth that is designed to be the same. So not even, and when I say that, not even our most prized and purest forms of life that we call twins, mm-hmm. even twins are not the same. Mm-hmm. So, and in fact, if we were all the same, human existence would have no character. Mm-hmm. So when we can understand the power that lies in that notion, we as a community, as a nation, will be unstoppable. Mm-hmm. And being different will then take on a new meaning, which I recognize as superpower. Mm-hmm. And with that being said, you know, that's why I'll be happy to share that one of my superpowers is called dyscalculia. Mm-hmm. And so I can't wait to be able to share that.
Well, that's a great transition. So why don't you Let's start talking about dyscalculia. And could you first begin by explaining what it is and defining it in intellectual as well as layman terms, you know, because we do have, describing it in terms of research terms as well as layman terms, because we do have people who are scholars who listen to our show that may want to delve more deeply into it in terms of research. But also we have parents and family members and teachers who could also be empowered by this information. So could you define it in very macro and then micro terms, please?
Okay, definitely. Well, first and foremost, let's start out with this. Just with a little research, according to the National Institutes of Health, 15% of the U.S. population has some type of learning disability. Out of that percentage, as many as 80% of that population has difficulties with reading, while others suffer with problems in writing. So when I speak about dyscalculia is an unknown mathematical learning disability, or in my case, a learning ability. Many who are listening may be familiar with dyslexia, which impacts reading, dysgraphia, which impacts writing, but most are not familiar with dyscalculia. And I was diagnosed as a college student in 2001, and it made my mission, and has made it my mission, to introduce dyscalculia to our community so that our children and adults can get the help and the support that they need. But dyscalculia is a math learning disability that impairs an individual's ability to learn numbers, related concepts, perform accurate math calculations, reason and problem solve, and perform other basic math skills. So dyscalculia impacts those who have difficulty in mathematical function, resulting from impairment to those parts of the brain dealing with numerical processing.
So what are some of the... How would you know if you might have this particular learning disability?
That's good. So we're going to take it back. So dyscalculia was fully recognized in the 1970s. And it was a term that was coined in the 1940s by a researcher by the name of Laxaville Coates. And he studied the disability in 1974. So when it became a forefronter to help educate people on the fact that this is a disability that exists, that's when people began to start to take notice. But for the most part, most of the world don't know what dyscalculia is because it's not something that's easily diagnosed. So it's prevalent, Dr. Houston, if a person can't read. That's very prevalent. And it's easy to recognize if a person can't write, but it is not easy to recognize if a person have a learning disability simply because we call it, well, maybe you need a tutor. Maybe he's just not good in math. Or it's not one of my favorite subjects or things in that matter. So that's what we try to label it as. But in reality, it does have its own face. And what that looks like when we speak about what would the symptoms of that look like? Well, first of all, dyscalculia is a lifelong issue, so there is no cure to it. It is a learning disability. So in place of what we have to do is find interventions to help aid and bring a support for children who have difficulties in learning mathematics. And I'll say the most simple forms of addition, subtraction, multiplication, division, meaning numbers may look a little foreign to them when they see it. In my case, I'll say, you know, fractions was something that I can never grasp. Learning, and by the way, I am a person who lives with dyscalculia. As I stated earlier, I was diagnosed in 2001, but it goes back as early as third grade. I didn't pass the third grade because of math, didn't pass the fourth grade because of math. And so you can imagine fifth grade on up, I always had to find myself going to summer school, but because I was an overachiever, I was fortunate enough that my teachers will pass me along the way with barely even just a 70 so that I wouldn't have to continue to repeat the grades. And so when we look at, when we're looking at those, what does it look like? Those are some of the things that may be challenging, not understanding word problems, not able to perform fractions. Those are things that you want to pay attention, not able to tell time. And I'm speaking about not even looking at a digital. We're just talking about looking at a normal clock and not able to read where the hands, what numbers it fall on. Those are some of the things that we have to take into consideration when looking at individuals who may be struggling in the area of mathematics. And there's an anxiety that takes place as well when being placed on the scene to be able to perform on demand. Students may break out in a sweat, having difficulty breathing when put on place. So that is so important for teachers and parents to be able to recognize that when it's time to see their child perform in those areas.
Well, I math was my favorite subject growing up. And I excelled in math because one of the reasons I believe is because I had such great teachers. My third grade teacher, Miss Nuss, just drilled math in us. And ever since her class, I always excelled in math. In fact, trigonometry was my favorite subject. And I actually should have been a math major in college if I would have been really pursuing, you know, what really interests me and was passionate about. And I say all that to say, you know, it wasn't until I got to college when I started hearing people say, it was when I got to college that I really heard my professors, who were predominantly Black, pushing back on the idea that Black students couldn't learn math. We had great teachers. You know, a lot of people say, I can't learn math and blah, blah, blah. And so I say all that to say that I do not want to make people think that Black folks can't learn math, you know, because of learning disability. There's a difference. There's a learning disability, and there are a group of us that just probably didn't have good teachers, right? Or never learned the basic components of math because it builds upon each other, right? Right? You can't get into algebra unless you know, multiplication, subtraction, and addition, and all of that. And so, how would you, as you know, this is your area of expertise. How do you distinguish between someone who has a learning disability, right, and someone who just has not been given the right tools or has not had the right tools to excel in math? Do you see? Because I don't want to promote the idea that Blacks and Latinos can't do math.
That's right. That's right. And that's so fair. Let's talk about that. Let's dive right in there. So it is important to understand that we, as African-American people, as a Latino community, we have come from a lineage of great mathematicians who have shaped this world just through the foundations of math. And it is my mission to help people understand that math is not scary, because let me say, I can do math and have learned to become a champion of math, even with having a learning difference. And that's the word we're going to use.
Thank you.
Yes, in having a learning difference, I learn math differently. And so, and we all have the ability to do it. With that being said, one of the things that being being an individual who lives with it, I was determined that even to not allow it to rule my life, but for me to insert it in my life that it can be a benefit for me. Because one thing I can tell you, I do know how to count my own money. Right. And that I can keep up with time at the same time. So that is important to recognize. One of the things while being in college, I will tell you, having the opportunity, and you, of course, went to Clark Atlanta University, know that in student government, you can be president up to two terms, right? Mm-hmm. And so naturally, after the first year of becoming president, naturally, everyone will say, hey, you need to be president again the next year. But due to having to do internships and things like that and focusing really on graduation, I knew that that was not going to be as possible for me. But because I worked so hard, I knew that I did not want to have my foot out of Student Government Association. And so what I ended up doing was I ran for treasurer. Mm-hmm. And that I was, people looked at me, for those who knew that I have a learning difference, they said, you're going to be able to do that? And I said, oh, absolutely. You know, I'm not going to allow this to be something that I'm going to be afraid of, but I'm going to find ways to conquer it. And I did just that very thing. And I was the first graduate student to be an executive board treasurer for CAU. So with that being said, I allowed something that was deemed scary in my life, I became a champion over it. And so with that being said, I want to share with our communities that there is a strength in that we have to learn to be able to be productive as a people. Right next to math is science. That's mm-hmm. how we build, that's how this nation was built. So we want to make sure that we do empower our young people, that they can do math and that they come from that lineage, and at the same time have an understanding that if they are struggling with math and they feel that they have, that is something that's far beyond their understanding, it will be a responsibility of our educators and responsibility of their village to make sure that that child gets the necessary help that they're need. And I'll be able to explain that in a little more detail as we continue to migrate through our conversation on what that will look like to be able to get that help and to be able to recognize how if the person may have dyscalculia.
Okay, well, let's go ahead and move forward with that. What are the recommendations that you would have?
Okay, awesome. So definitely, now, are we speaking more about the call of action? Is that what we're talking about?
Yes. What are your recommendations in terms of the call to action, in terms of what people need to do to address this learning difference?
Okay. Well, I'm going to share a few things. Okay. One thing is that my mission, of course, is to address the lack of awareness and knowledge of dyscalculia. Mm-hmm. So first and foremost, and I want communities to know, all communities to know, that dyscalculia does exist. That's first and foremost. Mm-hmm. So I want people to know that, no, you're not crazy. You're not dumb. A math learning disability does exist. Mm-hmm. And yes, you can do math and you can learn. And I'm a prime example of that, and that you can. So now that we have an understanding of this topic, and that's first and foremost, I'm challenging everyone to get the support and the service that you need. And if this information is not for you, know that it is for someone that you know, whether it's a son, a daughter, a niece, a nephew, grandchild, family, friend. We all know someone who has been challenged in the area of math. So what my plans and why 2021 is going to be very important is that I want people to expect lots of workshops, seminars, conferences and programs from me in regards to advancing our communities on dyscalculia and showcasing creative and innovative ways to do math that will not make math look scary and impossible. And so there is a call to action that I do want to put out here, that going forward, know that we are all now a carrier of information. And you now have an awareness and some general knowledge of dyscalculia, which means you now have a responsibility. And with this responsibility, we will operate in what I call intentional leadership, mm-hmm. which means leading with intent. Everything you do with this information going forth will not be on accident, but it will serve in our communities as purpose. And you will no longer accidentally change someone's life. You mean to change someone's life. Mm-hmm. So if you are a parent or someone who has influence on a child, I strongly encourage you to inform teachers and counselors of your awareness of dyscalculia. You will be surprised that most of them do not know that it exists, and challenge them to speak with parents about having their child tested for dyscalculia. And if they appear to have any difficulty in learning mathematical content. So if you are in the educational system, and I quote grade school or higher education, teachers, professors, staff, and administrators, you have the responsibility to now produce an awareness amongst your community of educators and share this information in your staff meetings. Contact me, and I will personally provide training to educate your team about dyscalculia and how to get your student tested. And so also, I'm going to put out here, if you are a decision maker, if you work with federal agencies, Department of Education, Congress, you have a responsibility to make society aware of dyscalculia in 2021. And I'm here to educate, empower, and change the status of this unknown. So I'm going to ask everyone to join me as we move our nation onward and forward. So if you get the opportunity, if you feel that you are a person who may have dyscalculia, or you know someone that you know that is struggling, I'm going to ask you, did you go to the internet? And you can type in dyscalculia, and it's spelled dyscalculia. Type in dyscalculia self-test. You can take a self-test, and with that self-test, it's going to ask you a series of questions about your introduction to math and what your difficulties in math could look like. And by the end of the test, it will give you a synopsis and an understanding on whether or not you may have dyscalculia. And from there, then that's when I make the recommendation that you actually see a psychologist, or not only see a psychologist, or make sure that you speak with, if you're dealing with a child in the school system, that you share this information of the results of that self-test with a counselor, and so that they can get you the proper help that you need in order to get the child tested where it will not cost you anything, because there is funding that helps support testing in the school that's mandated by the Department of Education. So with that being said, that's how you're going to get to the best results of what you need in order to be able to move forward. And at the same time, once it is determined, if it is determined that you are a person or your child is an individual who lives with dyscalculia, understand of getting the support that and the aid that you need to be able to function properly in an everyday society.
That's great advice. Well, we really appreciate you joining us today and educating our communities on dyscalculia. If anyone in our audience wants to get in contact with you or to just follow you in terms of learning more about this learning difference, where would they find you?
Okay, awesome. Website
or social media? Or?
Yes, absolutely. I am on LinkedIn. I am also on Facebook. I am also on Instagram. So you can actually just type in on LinkedIn. You can actually type in Dr. Stacy Robertson on Facebook and Instagram. Of course, I am Stacy Robertson on there as well. Also, My show, The Exclusive, is on YouTube. So you can type in The Exclusive with Stacey Robertson. So those are different ways in which you can contact me. My email address, for sure, would be the most valid way to contact me. And that'll be Dr. Stacey Allen Robertson at gmail.com. Okay. And of course, Stacey is spelled S-T-A-C-Y, Allen, A-L-L-A-N, and Robertson, R-O-B-E-R-S-O-N.
That's Dr. Stacey Allen Robertson at gmail.com. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Robertson. It's been a pleasure to have you on the show. And as you develop your programming and, for 2021, we welcome you to come back and tell us all about it and share your work. And we look forward to having you as a guest again in educating our communities and empowering our communities. Again, congratulations on receiving your EDD. We're very happy and proud of you. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me, and I look forward to continuing good work.
Thank you. Hello, we have Dr. Stacey Allen Robertson with us today, and he is going to give us some advice for college success. How are you doing, Dr. Robertson?
I'm doing excellent. Thank you so much for having me.
So tell us, what schools did you attend? What were your majors at those institutions? And then tell us that one piece of advice you would give students to make sure that they succeed in college.
Awesome. Awesome. I would love to do that. So I am a product for my undergraduate degree. First of all, I'm an HBCU advocate. I support everything HBCU. And so I attended Prairie View A&M University, and I graduated from the University of Arkansas at Pine Bluff. And my degree is in, my bachelor's degree is in mass communication, emphasizing in public relations. And from there, I was able to go and get my master's degree from Clark Atlanta University, and I have a master's in school counseling. And in recent, I have just became Dr. Stacey Allen Robertson, and I have my EDD in educational leadership with a concentration in higher education from Clark Atlanta University as well. And so when you speak about giving a piece of advice that I can share with students who are looking to pursue higher education, which is something that I am very passionate about, I want to be able to say to all those students who are listening and anyone who is looking to be a prospective student, please hear me when I say this, that we are all students and we will always be forever learners. However, the pursuit of education is only for a moment. And a year from now, you will wish that you had gotten started. The pursuit of employment, however, is for a lifetime. And a year from now, you would wish that you had been better prepared. So get your education while you are in your moment, because it's in your moment is where you will find your desire.
Thank you so much for that advice. Go and get your education and be passionate about it. Thank you so much, Dr. Robertson. Glad to have your advice.
Thank you so much.
A special thank you to the incredible team of the Empowerment Zone. Terry Ungully, theme song, NADWORKS, digital support, and of course, our featured guest.
If you enjoyed my podcast, please subscribe. We are on all of your favorite podcast platforms. Be sure to rate us on Apple Podcasts too. Thank you for your continued support.